Chapter 46. Michael pushed the trolley along the ward, stopping by the next bedside. He leaned down and retrieved the sloshing bedpan, stacking it on top of the others. Wheeling a trolley with one arm was something of a fine art that he'd perfected over the past 3 months. From time to time, it did cause him cramp, owing to the uneven weight distribution. Such a twinge struck his shoulder, so he employed his go-to remedy using the nearest doorway. Leaning into the edge of the frame, he pressed his body weight against the top of his right arm, gasping as his architectural masseuse relieved much of the tension. Standing up straight, he rolled both shoulders back a few times to recalibrate. As if feeling neglected, the stump where his left arm used to be tingled with invisible pinpricks. Michael scratched it good and proper, then resumed his bedpan collection duties. As he trundled through the sleepy ward, he took care not to clatter the pans. He didn't want to disturb the sleeping patients. Not that it was always easy to see in the dim night lighting. The writing, that was. The bedpans were easy enough to find, but what Michael was really interested in was the patient's charts. The advantage of having one arm was that his superiors assumed his laggardly pace was down to his disability, when in reality, it was because he was reading the footnotes of every bed he attended. Michael would make a quick note in his diary of the patient's initials and diagnosis, or, if he was being watched, would memorize the details until he had a moment of privacy. His record was 8 patients. That was the upper limit of his working memory before he had to fake a toilet break and write them all down. Michael trundled through the ward, noting the 2 new arrivals with interest, as well as the 1 empty bed. His predictions from yesterday were well off. He'd been expecting a full house of survivors. He'd have to cross-reference the fatalities against the other cases he'd been monitoring. His data set was growing each night, and his accuracy was improving, albeit only at a general macro level. He was still a long way from being able to predict specific cases. As he finished that ward's bedpan round, he predicted there would be a 6% mortality rate by this time tomorrow across those beds. He washed his hand, relying mainly on the flowing water rather than a scrubbing action, then grabbed his coat. 2 a.m. meant it was Michael's mid-shift lunch break. He hopped into his car and headed home. It was a tight turnaround to get it all done within the hour, but his system was licked. He turned the joystick that had replaced the steering wheel in his modified car and pulled up outside. The automaton greeted him at the door, holding out a delicate, translucent flower in its cupped hand. Michael collected it in his offering tin and sped off for the ministry. Watching the minutes tick by, he cursed his luck as he was forced to wait for some late-night revelers to cross the square. With the coast finally clear, he hurried towards the secret door. The hatch slid open, swallowing his offering as usual. In the 12 months that he'd been doing the nightly ritual, barring the weeks he was hospitalized, the flowers had never once been rejected. Nonetheless, Michael waited 10 seconds each time to be sure before heading back to the car. Some hours later, he finished off his hospital shift and returned home in time for the 6 a.m. mail call. Knowing he'd delivered his daily offering gave him a new confidence when checking the mail each day. Sure enough, the box was empty. Content with his ritual success, he yawned and headed inside. Taylor was up, as always, being an indefatigable early riser. She bounded over to give him a hug. It was like having a human-sized Labrador waiting at home. Taylor's condition gave Michael mixed feelings. On the one hand, she was so often joyful and her childlike playfulness brought levity to the household. On the other hand, he knew she wasn't supposed to be this way, and he suspected sometimes she sensed it too. Occasionally, her mood would dip, and she would stare outside at the adults walking by, transfixed by their alien lives. Today, however, she was on her usual energetic form and seemed particularly keen to show him something. She tugged Michael by the sleeve until he followed her into the living room, where she proudly presented a stick painting she'd been working on. Michael smiled, touched by her rose-tinted depiction of their family's existence. He felt a lump in his throat as he saw Kelsey painted beside him holding his hand. Across from them, she'd painted her own parents, Tony and Stacy, arm in arm. Kelsey had initially asked Michael to care for Taylor because her legal parents were refusing, following the accident. But their attitude had changed over time, and they had grown eager to see their daughter, Tony in particular. This quickly became a source of serious tension. Kelsey prevaricated, trying to shield them from seeing Taylor, still clinging to the hope she might have a breakthrough in the remedial treatment. Underlying the guilt was a credible fear that Tony, or more likely Stacy, would report her to the ministry, resulting in her being arrested, and her and Michael falling under a degree of police scrutiny they could never withstand. Kelsey had managed to keep Taylor's parents at arm's length for 6 months before she finally acquiesced to their request to see her. The first visit did not go well. They knew Kelsey was shifting heaven and earth to try and find a cure, but she was also responsible for their daughter's diminished condition. Even Stacy was heartbroken. The couple reacted by effectively excommunicating Kelsey. So, it was with a heavy heart that Michael gazed upon Taylor's naive drawing of one big, happy family. "I love it," he said with forced cheer. "Let's put it right on the fridge. You want to help me make breakfast?" Taylor clapped her hands enthusiastically and grabbed the flour from the cupboard. She giggled, slapping a palm to her forehead, then set about trying to scoop the entire load up with a teaspoon. The automaton hovered beside her and offered a larger spoon, then demonstrated the improved technique. Michael thanked them both and cracked on with the rest of the preparation. He always enjoyed cooking pancakes. It wasn't exactly a kale smoothie, but it made him feel close to his late grandfather. Michael and Taylor toasted each other with a grin, then shoveled the syrupy stacks into their mouths. Once they'd gorged their way through a plateful each, Michael placed the remainder into the oven to stay warm for the boys. Rubbing his itchy eyes, he took a seat on the couch and beckoned Taylor to join him.
"What are we reading today?" he said through a sleepy yawn.
She disappeared for a moment, then returned clutching a pirate story.
"Red rum again?" laughed Michael.
Taylor grinned, nodding her head eagerly.
"All right, but you'll have to do most of the reading this time."
He turned to the well-worn first page and placed his finger under the first word, encouraging Taylor to make the TH sound of the. She tried her best as they went through the text, but required prompts for every syllable. As yet, she was only capable of copying auditory cues after they'd been demonstrated. After a few pages, she became restless. She started absent-mindedly probing the nub of Michael's amputated arm while staring at the page. Michael knew better than to try and plow on.
"Great work. I think you deserve a break. Want to play a game with Toma?"
Toma was the nickname Michael had given the automaton, who tended to Taylor each day while Michael was asleep. The automaton had played a central role in improving her motor skills. Damien and Leon bounded down for breakfast, lured by the smell of fresh pancakes. Yawning, Michael ruffled their heads as they ate, then bade them good days. In the hallway, Toma waited for him with cupped hands. Michael smiled. Of all the bizarre daily rituals his family had fallen into, this was the most unexpected.
"Show me. I can't wait," he said.
Toma opened its hands and revealed an immaculately folded paper crane. It nudged it forward to Michael, who received it gratefully. Thanking the automaton, Michael retreated to bed. He closed his bedroom door and placed the crane on the dresser beside the hundreds of other beautiful origami figurines Toma had made for him. With a smile, he flopped down onto the bed, knowing his family was safe for another day. Finally, he could sleep.